Court, the movie podcast where Sean
and Mampy
watch shit, talk shit, and most importantly, eat shit. We are the law. And guess what we saw?
You took my line, you sick scallywag. We saw Dune 2. We saw which, okay, first off, I'm just going to say it. They toned that way down.
They did.
It was almost comical when it played because I was like, well, I just watched the first one and it was like up to 10,000%. Like it could scare you if you weren't ready.
Yeah.
And in this one, it was just kind of like, oh, is that the hint of a shrieking woman?
It was kind of a welcome departure, I'll be honest.
Oh, yeah.
Much like we watched Dune 2. Yeah. Did we say that?
Oh, yeah, we did.
Oh, we watched Dune 2 starring Timothée Chalamet, Zendaya. Javier we just named Bardem. Them all. Javier Bardem, Austin Butler, Thanos. Stellan Skarsgård. Last week we didn't know any of the actors, so I'm trying to know some of
What's
the actors
Thanos
this week.
Thanos' name?
Thanos.
The guy.
Man, we didn't think about him before the.
Oh, yeah.
It's like. Oh, yeah, he's a Brolin.
Brolin, Josh Brolin, yeah.
Josh Brolin, yeah.
He's
a Nepo baby.
That lady who's been in a few things lately, Florence Pugh, she's in it.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Top Hat Lady.
Top Hat Lady. Oh, God, I forgot her name, too.
Yeah, me too.
Damn it, she's good, though. I love
Mommy.
Her. Yeah, Mommy. Magic
her name is
Mommy.
Mommy.
Lady Jessica.
Lady Jessica.
Reverend Mother.
Listen to me, boy.
Who else?
Let's go ahead and do it, Michael. Let's go ahead and do this. This is about to be fucking wild.
Yeah.
What did you think?
I went into the theater with my eyes open, my ears peeled,
good,
and my heart ready.
Uh-huh.
And it was not prepared for the spectacle, the epic tale. That is Dune 2. I loved it.
Oh, okay. I couldn't tell if you're about to pull the rug.
Wouldn't that have been
you're
crazy?
You're going way up.
For the worst shit I've ever watched. That would be crazy.
For sucking my fucking dick.
What are we doing?
Timothée Chalamet, eat shit.
Eat shit. You might.
Zendaya, fuck you. Get a last name.
Eat some shit. You could use it. You need to gain some weight.
Yeah,
skeleton.
You're skinny. I mean,
he could play Skeletor in the He-Man.
Zendaya?
No, it's Timothée Chalamet.
Oh, Timothée Chalamet. They could both be he and she.
Yeah.
Skeletor.
Yeah, that would be great. Oh,
Skeletor and Skeletee.
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 I'm Skeletee.
This is my wife, Skeletee.
Skeletina.
Oh.
Skeletina Turner.
Oh, I left a good job.
That would be amazing.
I love it.
I'd watch that.
What's love got to do with it?
That's a great question, Skeletina.
Thank you for asking.
Head just gets cut off by He-Man.
Were there any beheadings in this movie? Okay, sorry. We can't get sidetracked already with beheadings. I liked it.
I had a blast.
I'm not sure if I liked it as much as the first one,
whoa,
with all due respect, but I quite liked it.
I had the opposite.
Oh.
Liked it way more than the first one.
You like way, way, way more.
Way
well, this
more.
Is great. We're gonna learn. We're gonna feel.
We're gonna love.
We're also going to recap.
Yes.
If you haven't seen the film, spoilers await. Beware. Mampy.
Yeah.
Do you think you can handle the arduous task of recapping this movie?
Oh, absolutely. Dune 2 picks up where Dune 1 left off.
Yeah, it really does.
It's like, oh, we're in the desert. Walking.
Just the next moment.
They go to meet the Fremen, the people of the desert, because they got to get the hell out of the way of the Harkonnens, because the Harkonnens are coming to kill every fucking person. Not just looking for Paul and his little magic mommy. They want to kill everybody on the planet.
Yeah.
On the planet, man. They want him all dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. So Paul has to go on this journey to become the Mahdi, what is it? La sigle, blah, blue, blue, the whatever, their prophet.
There's a bunch of different ones.
Messiah.
Mahdib. He's Usul. He's got like 100 names.
Yeah, they all call him.
Lisan al Ghaib.
Yeah, Lisan al Ghaib.
Lisan al Ghaib.
Lisan
al Ghaib.
Lisan al Ghaib.
No L.
There's no Lisan?
No, there's a Lisan, but there's no L in Ghaib.
Oh, Lisan Ghaib.
Do you even know these movies?
I'm trying.
Have you read the books?
I haven't read the books.
The books are cool.
I want to start them now after this one.
I highly recommend them. At least the first few.
Yeah.
I got to I think the fourth or the fifth one, and I was like, all right, this is fucking insane. Yeah. I'm bailing on this.
I feel like it might just be too much for me.
I'll be honest, the first few are quite fun, and they follow his bloodline, Mr. Paul's bloodline, down, and it gets fucking weird.
Interesting.
It gets incredibly weird.
I'm very interested.
Yeah.
Because this one had a little bit more of the weirdness. I think the first one did.
Yes, drowning, baby worms.
Baby worms drowning, babies being poisoned and waking up with blue eyes.
Yes.
And talking babies to their mom.
Very smart.
Yeah,
very hey, smart. Hey, mommy.
Our favorite, spoiler alert, Anya Taylor-Joy showing up to be the grown-up baby, which she looks like a grown-up baby.
She does. I feel like she looks weirder every day. Every new picture I see of her, her teeth have gotten bigger, like they don't fit in her mouth, or her face has gotten too small for her teeth. I don't know. I mean, she's obviously beautiful, but
yeah,
she looks like an alien. She looks exactly like an alien. And I support her. I'm glad she's doing this, and I would rather see her in a movie than Awkwafina. Or wait, who did we decide was male Awkwafina?
Oh, I don't remember.
Tweet at us if you remember who male Awkwafina is. By male Awkwafina, I mean a person who's in every movie, but we don't understand why.
We don't understand why. Yeah, that is confusing. I've been noticing that a lot. A lot of actors, it's just like, I've seen you in like 12 trailers in this one, before this one movie. It's like kind of weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, but imagining Awkwafina as the grown-up baby would have been crazy.
Paul, I love you. I'm your sister.
That would be horrifying.
Hey, I'm your sister. What if we just did a little bang job here?
Yeah, what if we...
I'm your sister.
Have you tried rapping? Try rapping to the Fremen. Yo, Fremen.
Hey, I am a Fremen. And then a Demon. Steel suit.
Sucking water out of dead bodies. Putting it in a big pond thing. But we can't drink it. Don't drink that water.
Don't drink it.
So basically, yeah, they learn the ways of the Fremen. The mom has to become the Reverend Mother of these people. Otherwise,
Rebecca Stamos.
Ferguson.
Rebecca Ferguson. We're doing great this week.
We're really good at this.
These are like 10 names we've remembered.
I'm really proud of
this. These are 10 names we've remembered. We're doing great this week.
Going great. The factory, the mine factory is at full productivity. Days without incident, zero. I mean, more than that now, because that's a good thing. And so basically... she becomes that. She kind of goes insane.
Yes.
And like she drank her own juice almost to.
Yeah.
And became just like completely propelled by this like idea of the. What's that one? I can't remember. The Heishwatch.
Oh, the Kwashashadrach.
Kwashashadrach. That one.
Well, she, to be fair, has every single Reverend Mother who's ever existed inside of her head.
That's true.
And also, she doesn't have as much seeing the future power as Paul might by the end. He seems to have quite a lot of power by the end. But she can kind of see the future and know everything that's about to happen. So It's probably pretty wild.
Yeah.
I mean, not that she's not a hard, she does, she is like part of oncoming genocide, obviously.
Yes, yeah, she's still a wild lady. She can hear a million voices, including her baby's voice.
Yes.
And it talks like a little demon.
Hey, mommy, do it.
That type of stuff is so creepy. It's like, ugh.
Yes.
So that's going on. The Harkonnens, they get a new warrior, Fade. He's a sociopath. They want him to take charge because the other guy couldn't quite cut it.
It's so fucking awesome.
Anger issues. So he couldn't.
Sorry, Bautista.
Yeah. Sorry, Bautista.
You thought because you were the biggest that you were going to be the strongest? Well, actually, it's Austin Butler. Elvis is here to kick your ass.
Yep. Sorry.
You ain't, Mr. Bautista, you ain't nothing but a hound dog. Crying all the time.
Crying all the time.
You fuck.
And so evil.
To Dave Bautista, who I like.
He's great. He did great.
Knock at the Cabin was one of my favorite movies last year. I said it.
Knock of that man against that control panel 7,000 times. That was a great scene. He gets really mad at a dude and just starts banging him on a fucking...
That's what they do. Beekeeper style.
Yeah. It's crazy.
He protected the hive.
But so Psycho Elvis is trying to kill Madib because Madib he's been leading the Fremen to destroy all the things, and he's doing a really good job at it.
Yeah, he's blown up some spice harvesters.
He's blown up spice harvesters, but he keeps having horrible visions of millions of starving people and his evil mom walking amongst them like some goddess
or something. Yeah, being very happy about it.
Yeah, very happy about it.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm not going to do that. But
me?
Sadly, he must. He must do it. And he does. Yeah. And basically, they get revenge for all of the wrongdoing in the first movie. Mm-hmm. So if you were looking for that, you got it.
Yeah.
And they start a holy war, a galactic holy war.
Yes.
And love is maybe circumstantial. We don't know. Transactional. Yeah. We don't know. Can you love someone while taking the hand of another? These are the questions that this movie poses.
Mampy, I want to give you a spoiler alert for the book.
Ooh.
The book treats this slightly differently.
Mm.
Chani is... she obviously has mixed feelings in the book, but she's like not the opposition in the book.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, in the book she's kind of like... I mean, she's maybe a little less interesting in that way.
Yeah.
But she's kind of like, well, I mean, we gotta... if we want to make Arrakis beautiful, we have to get enough power so that we can get enough water so that we can turn this into a beautiful forest land.
Oh.
And if you have to get married to another lady, well, that's, you know, that's fine. I know that you're going to still be in my bed when, you know, and she's kind of like that, which is, I feel like she's got definitely a lot more to do in this.
I think
because she has to be like, wait a minute. Give me 1 second. Hold up. Gonna marry some other bitch? You're gonna marry a bitch who is an Oppenheimer?
That white bitch in chainmail armor.
White devil.
White devil. Bene Gesserit. She needs to. I did feel very bad for her. But which they did a good job of. But that's interesting. But, I mean, he does, Paul is like, yeah, she'll come around. I've seen it, which is crazy.
It's funny that at some point, like, 3/4 of the way in, he's like, well, you know, what's so bad about being Space Hitler? You know, this whole time I was kind of like, this might be bad to destroy huge swaths of people to cut them down. But maybe it's fine.
Maybe it's okay. Maybe that's going to work out.
That's just what he decides. It's really cool. I love movies where Hitler is the main character.
Yeah, it's like,
Dune 2, mm-hmm. Starship Troopers. I can't think
of
any other ones.
Starship Troopers is a
classic. Starship Troopers, they're like, yeah, we're killing the fucking bugs. i.e. whatever, yeah, you know, any race other you want to put in.
Yeah, exactly. It's so, that movie is brilliant. And I love that I saw it as a kid and I was just like, this is so cool. And then you grow up and you're like, oh, wow.
Oh, awesome. No.
It's pretty.
Oh, no.
Starship Troopers is having a comeback. There's been a new game released called Helldivers 2 that has completely taken the whole, like, because you're on planets fighting bugs or these giant robots, and it's all about, like, democracy, freedom for everybody, but just destroying these other things that aren't us. And I'm like, and they even play it off very satirical with, like, Starship Trooper type, like, intro. And so I was like, this is so awesome. Funny. But I didn't know Starship Troopers was based on a book, and then they made an anime, and then they made the movie. I went, what?
Yeah, the book is, it's funny because the book basically is like, oh, it is good to do this. Like, the book was essentially written by a guy who liked fascism.
Yeah, it's propaganda.
He was like, oh, it's cool. It's a good thing to kill all of your enemies, especially if they're different from you. That's the book, which is pretty insane.
It is pretty crazy. You know what I find interesting about propaganda?
Yeah.
If you take a proper gander at what's going on, you're not going to be fooled by it. Okay.
Did you just come up with that?
Yeah. Right now.
That's amazing. Write that down.
That's going in the fucking book, baby.
Clip that, baby.
Clip it.
You got to clip that.
Clip that shit.
Okay. We can't only talk about Starship Troopers on this Dune 2 podcast.
As much as we want to, that's the only thing I'm going to go ahead and give away that I would have added.
Yeah.
Bugs. Big, giant. I mean, there are worms, but like.
They're worms.
I want to see the Starship Trooper bugs from that movie. Just put them in this. I think that's all it kind of needed.
They rule.
Yeah.
They rule so hard. Okay. Mampy.
Yeah.
We're turning. We're grabbing the. Yeah, I don't know what they grab. The long ropes.
Yes.
That go into the worm scales.
Yes.
We're turning the worm just slightly over to our beef lamb gyro.
Ooh.
You know what the best part of this movie is, in my opinion?
Yes, tell me your beef lamb gyro.
Fade Rotha.
Yeah, he's awesome.
I just fucking loved Fade Rotha.
He's
I love his first fight.
Ugh.
I love his scary black teeth.
Yeah, he's gross.
Does he have a mouth guard? What's going on?
I think they're just black.
He's got scary black teeth. I like that he's just really super evil.
Mm-hmm.
He's just killing bitches.
Yeah.
Killing male bitches.
And he can back it up because he's actually skilled. And he's not afraid of anything, unlike the other general guy. Yeah.
He's just so happy to kill. He just loves to kill. And I think he's a good, he's like a great mirror of Paul.
Yes.
Even though, like, as the movie goes on, you begin to realize that they're actually quite similar. They're not actually mirror images. They're more like mirror images, but actual mirror images.
Yeah.
Whereas usually the mirror image is like, oh, what if this was the opposite of me? Oh, I'm this and I'm this. Well, they just sort of reveal themselves to be about the same guy. Roughly the same guy. Yeah. Paul just gets less joy out of it.
Yeah.
He still does plenty of killing.
Yeah, Paul's just doing it as a means to an end.
Yeah.
Where that guy's like, I like this. Yeah.
And he's got like the perfect, I mean, I think he's just doing a Stellan Skarsgård impression, but his Stellan Skarsgård impression is great.
He somehow did it better than Stellan Skarsgård.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, he sounds, that was such a good choice to like.
Hello, uncle.
Make them seem the same.
Yeah.
Whereas Bautista doesn't quite have that.
No, Bautista, I mean, he is supposed to be the lunk of
exactly.
He's just a big goof.
He is.
Poor Bautista.
I know. I thought he was going to be like a real big baddie, but he's just kind of like sucks.
I mean, that's good.
Yeah.
You know? We need Bautista to be able to play goofs.
I think so.
And stupid heads. And dummies.
And dummies.
But I just love Fade Rotha. I love his first fight in this strange black and white world of Yeti Prime. When the sun comes out, everything is black and white.
Yes.
Who knows why, but it's awesome.
It's so cool looking.
And he just turns off his shield, and the whole crowd is like, yeah!
The shield looked cool in black and white. I was like, yeah.
Whoa. Yeah, the shield's really cool.
Yeah, that was
fun. Yeah, so I just loved Fade Rotha. I thought he was a good bad guy, and I think it, because of the way the entire movie hinges on him being bad.
Yeah.
Like, if he isn't bad because the final fight is just two guys with knives.
Yeah.
Like, he has to be pretty evil.
Exactly.
For it to make any fucking sense.
I agree.
Otherwise, you're kind of like, well, okay, I guess they did a fight.
Yeah, I guess they did.
But in this, you're like, oh, good, I'm glad he's dead. But also, oops, it's probably also bad that he's dead. Well, okay. What are you going to do?
it is such a cool... The journey of Paul is so fascinating because you start the movie on his side.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, I totally agree. I would not want to, even if it was to have the ultimate power, to be the cause of millions of people dying.
No.
And across the galaxy and all this shit.
No.
To create some prophecy that was planted by these people. Like, yeah. That makes total sense. It's like, yeah, that sucks. You want to feel like it's your life and you're doing this thing.
Yes.
And he is such a noble person. He's like, he wants to be Fremen. He wants to save the Fremen.
Yeah.
He falls in love with the Fremen. Yeah. And like, it's so pure. And then he, because of circumstances, has to become this kind of, I don't know if amoral is the word, but like, I don't know, like just... not almost like not a person anymore.
Yes, absolutely.
He has to transcend that in order to lead all these people. And I think, honestly, I think his transformation into that figure, the Mahdi or whatever, all the words. I think that was probably my favorite because it was such like it just flipped on me and I didn't expect it. And I was like, oh, I don't really like him anymore. Like he's become this like, yeah, he's just indifferent to everything around because he can see everything. So he's like outside of like everyone else, which is really not great.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was a weird feeling. And I love that the movie caused me to feel that. I was like, that's like, I love the scene where he's in front of everybody and he's basically like, y'all suck. Shut up. I'm in charge.
Yeah.
And they're like really pissed off at him. And then he's just like, I know everything about you. Your grandma got hit with a rock or something. Like, he's just like, and they're just like, all right.
He's like, oh, my grandma did get hit by a rock.
I loved it. He's like, no one can beat me here.
That's crazy. Yeah. And they're like, oh, yeah.
You're right. Good point. And Chani is, of course, like, what the fuck? Who the hell is this?
Yeah.
Which he's back
from the dead.
Yeah, he came back and not nice
no.
at all. His hair looked crazy. He was crazy. Yeah.
I also like the fact that, like, earlier on, he's, like, talking to his mom, and his mom's like, we're going south, you know, we're gonna go to south where all of the, like, the real deal kook Fremens are.
Yeah.
Like, this is where all of the January 6th Fremen are. So he... She's like, yeah, we're going to go down there. And he's like, I think I can see the future. I'm not sure. But there's like one way we can go through this and not cause the total annihilation of millions and millions and millions of people.
Mm.
And then by the end, he's like, oh, I see the way that it's actually, that's the way I want to go. I want to do that.
Which is wild.
Yeah. It's funny that like it also sort of speaks to our inability to get out of the past, to like tear ourselves free, like just because of how everything has always been this way. So we don't know how to get the fuck out of this.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you know, wouldn't it be nice if we didn't do war anymore? And it's like, well, I don't know.
I don't know how to not
do it. We cannot do war anymore. Sorry.
Well, yeah, because all of the good intentions in the world just don't stand up against, like, being killed. It just doesn't. It's really unfortunate. This was a really good depiction, I thought, of, like, war, and it felt bad to watch. It was just like, oh, man. Like, their friend who gets caught by Fade and his men, and they just, like, torture not yeah. torture her, but like they use a torch gun and kill her.
Yeah.
Like, jeez. Just like, it's wild. It's very, I don't know. It was so good. I got really sucked into this one, and I got really sucked into him becoming part of the Fremen. I yeah. love that whole part. And Javier Bardem had a really fun back and forth.
He's so
him.
Funny in it.
It was great.
They let him be so funny. I love it.
Sorry.
He's like a silly, just lover. He's like, he's definitely the guy. He's like a more goofy Morpheus.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because he's like, yeah, great job. Hey, awesome. You're doing great one stuff right now. This is awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's, I don't know. I just thought they did a great job with it, and it was fun. And I loved all the worm stuff. Worm stuff was great.
Worm stuff kicks
the
ass.
The tiny worm was freaky. The little yes. baby worm. I was like, ugh.
Very yucky.
Very.
I think they pulled off the, I think her name is Aaliyah in the book, but Paul's little sister.
Yeah.
I feel like they pulled that stuff off really well.
Yeah, it was cool.
Because in the book, it's like when they do the Water of Life, you know, she too has the same change.
Yeah.
Like the little baby is like suddenly is flooded with all the knowledge of an adult. But she's like a little baby inside of the womb.
That's so crazy.
So she's just like, hey, mom, I was thinking, isn't it interesting that, I had this idea. Because she's like essentially become, like she too has sort of the powers of Paul because she's, you know, she too has everything, but also like the combined of the Leto line and the Bene Gesserit line. Mm. So, yeah, it's really interesting stuff. But yeah. I feel like they didn't go that deep into it, but it's interesting, like, the way they sort of pulled off the actual, like, creature. I mean, it's just a baby, yes. but the way the design of the baby is awesome.
The visuals were, yeah, I loved all of the visual of the baby. It was so, like, yeah. cool sci-fi.
Yeah.
Very well done. And then, like, the blue water of life, like, washing it. First, I was just like, oh, my God, they're just going to straight up kill the baby. And then I was like, yeah. oh, okay, cool. That's a very interesting...
It's even worse than that.
Yeah, exactly.
she's just as evil as her mom.
Just as evil. And
I don't know what they're going to do with the next one.
She seems nice, at least to Paul, but it's hard to say what like the motivations are and like how good someone is. It's really hard to tell.
Oh, absolutely.
Because in the I would have said the mom was a good, like,
yes,
trying to be good. Maybe not in a good circumstance because of the Bene Gesserit, but like...
Yeah.
But then now she's just like completely...
Oh, yeah.
One track mind about it. It's very...
Yeah. And the fact that the Bene Gesserit is like, well, we've got some seeds planted on both sides. You know, if Fade wins, we'll be fine. If Paul wins, we'll be fine. We don't give a fuck.
Yeah, they're crazy.
We've got somebody on all sides. Everything's going to be fine.
They're wild.
When Paul uses the voice on like the other Reverend Mother,
yes,
so fucking awesome.
That was almost my like Euro scene. It was so fun.
It's so badass.
It made me happy.
And it's another one of the things that's like cool in the similar way to Starship Troopers. It's like, okay, we see the horrible things that will happen. We know that as he gets stronger, they're more likely to happen. But we're also kind of like, oh, this is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Like, they're riding worms, and they're killing all of the Sardaukar.
Yeah.
They're just, like, destroying people who are evil.
Yeah.
But we kind of only get the sprinkling in the back of our mind, like, oh, well, they're killing evil people, but maybe those evil people are the only people who can stop true evil from taking over the universe. So it's this like little feeling where like, yeah, use the voice. And you're also like, oh no, he's so powerful. Yeah. No one can stop him.
Exactly.
Oh, whoops.
It's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Paul was probably the best candidate. I think if you had given, you know, Fade that sort of power, it'd be a horrifying universe, but I mean, yeah, it's so weird because it's like, yeah, they're killing a bunch of people, they're going to kill a bunch of people,
sure,
It really makes you question life and the way it all works out, don't it?
Yeah.
Which I think is a good sign of a good story.
Absolutely.
So, this is fascinating.
Yeah. Okay. Other good things.
All the action. I thought the action was so nice.
Yeah.
I liked it way more than the first movie's action.
Yeah, it really kicked ass.
Yeah, engaged me. It was really fun. The scene where Chani uses the rocket launcher and she's like trying to blow up that like copter thing. But a guy like is about to stab her from behind and Paul can't get to her in time. So she just turns and shoots him with it. And he goes flying and blows up. I was like, that was awesome.
Yeah.
That was really fun. Yeah, I loved it.
I also, as usual, loved the costumes.
Yeah, very cool.
I thought Florence Pugh's like Princess Irulan costumes were all really cool. Just like these kind of like beautiful little danglies and stuff. Yeah. And her little woven hat. All of those things looked great.
Yeah, she was great. I loved her as a Christopher Walken's daughter.
Yes.
He was doing his normal thing, but, you know, I liked it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's the emperor.
Yeah, sure. Of course he would act like Christopher Walken. He's a weird dude.
Yeah.
And I loved, man, this is another part where it's like, oh, I'm excited for the bad thing.
Mm.
But when Paul makes the emperor kiss the ring, it's like, kiss the ring, bitch.
There was a lot of good revenge, nice feeling. Like, I mean, this is big spoilers, but like when Paul kills Stellan Skarsgård's character.
Yes.
Big dude. I don't know his name, but.
His name is Baron Harkonnen.
The Baron Harkonnen. That was such a nice moment. And he goes, you die like an animal or something. Yes. I was like, dang.
Yeah.
Because that guy was just a disgusting, brutal.
He sucks.
He sucked. He sucked really bad. Even his nephew hated him. So
yeah, everybody hates him.
Like, you suck.
That's one of the weird things about like Harkonnen is it seems like everybody hates each other.
Yeah.
But they're kind of like, that's how they move through life.
Which is very interesting.
Yeah, they just hate each other.
That whole planet, I would not want to be born there or taken there or anything.
No.
I do like the design of those weird Colosseum guys with the hook things.
Oh,
they look so creepy.
Awesome.
What is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're freaky.
There's so much cool little shit like that. I am excited. Now, I will say, with great regret.
Uh-oh.
That I did not see this in IMAX.
Same.
It's playing in 70mm, and it's sold out for like 2 weeks. And I was very sad to not see it. Because I saw previews, but before Tenet, they played the scene where Paul meets up with his old friend Gurney Halleck, played by Josh Brolin.
Oh, yeah.
They played that scene.
Whoa.
And it was cool.
That's cool.
And also, also when I saw Dune 1, they played the worm scene.
Oh, yeah.
Which was fucking awesome.
That's so cool.
And that, like, I feel like especially with a movie like this, you know, it's great to see a good movie anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you watch Tenet at your, well, if I watch Tenet at my house, I go, oh, this rules. But, like, seeing it where it can actually kick your ass, where, like, the sound can physically destroy you, it's just a big difference. So, I'm excited to see it again and learn more.
Yes, I had a, I have to say, I had a moment where my internet did a weird thing. So, I don't know what you just said. I was like,
just say yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I was like, and it. Okay.
Hey.
But
this is basically all I said in case we lost it.
Yeah.
I didn't see it in IMAX and I was very sad. But still, seeing it on quite a big screen and it being pretty loud was awesome.
Yeah.
So I wish I had seen it bigger and louder.
It's funny because, like, I got in there and I was like, oh man, I wish I could have gone to IMAX. But oddly, there's no Regal IMAXs anywhere near me at all. I was like, that is so odd. It's like,
you're in
where?
New York City.
Very odd. The AMCs have it, but not the, which I had a funny journey trying to see this movie. I got a ticket for a theater that was nearby because I didn't I didn't have time to ride a train into Manhattan. So I took my car and I paid. So I paid, had to pay full price for the ticket. Sure. Then I got on the bridge to Manhattan instead of my turn. And I went, oh my God. And I was going to be there 30 minutes later than the movie started. I was like, I have to just go to Manhattan anyway. So I had to pay for parking, then get another ticket free because it was Regal this time. Mm-hmm. But I was like, this is such a silly. It just, it was the inevitability thing, you know? I was meant to go to the.
You were always going to go there.
I was always
going to go. I also like that they briefly brought back Jameis. I like Jameis.
Yeah, he's great. That was fascinating.
Yeah.
It's funny that Paul can tap into, like, a future that never happened. It's very interesting. I like that idea. It's like, oh.
Yeah. It is really cool.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I wonder if. I wonder how those voices of the past will speak to him in the next movie, if there is a next movie. I would assume there will be, since it's making a lot of money.
I think they're planning to make a ton of them, but...
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think they're going to make like 6 of them or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, who knows?
Okay.
Who knows?
I don't know how they're going to do it, because it gets fucking insane. I mean, it gets completely fucking insane.
Really? I'm interested.
Well, I don't want to spoil it for you, but it gets completely fucking insane.
Yeah.
If you look at the covers of the books past 2, like the old 70s covers, you're going to be like, what the fuck is this? Because it's absolutely nuts.
So did this movie finish the first book, or is there still more?
Yes.
Okay.
Pretty much. Done. I mean, some things move slightly differently. Mm-hmm. Like I think the sister is born at the end of Dune, the book.
Gotcha.
And I feel, and as I said, the Chani stuff is different, but most of the Dune stuff has happened.
Okay, interesting.
Now it's Dune Messiah.
Uh-oh.
Dune Messiah.
Interesting.
Hello, Uncle. I'm dead now.
I'm dead. I'm very interested to see where it goes, but that'll be in a few years. So.
Yeah, how many fucking years?
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how much these people age by the time they're done.
I think there is a bit of a time jump.
Yeah.
Okay. Between Dune and Dune Messiah.
Oh, interesting.
So that will be aided.
Maybe it won't even be Timothy anymore. Maybe they'll cast someone else.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hey, if you're listening, not Denis Villeneuve. But if you're listening, listeners,
yes,
tweet at us at FoodCourtCast. Let us know what you think is going to happen in the next Dune movie. Mm. We love to hear your comments.
I love it.
I'm saying it sarcastically, but we do.
We do.
We do.
The nice ones. I also really liked Madib being named after that little mouse. I didn't know that ever. Like, I didn't remember that from the David Lynch movie at all.
Oh, yeah.
I totally forgot that. I was like, oh, right.
He's named after the mouse.
The little mouse.
Yeah, who creates his own water.
Which is what, I mean, come on, baby.
Yeah.
Come on, baby.
That's what we need. And I like that, obviously, Mahdi and Muad'Dib sound very similar.
Very similar,
that's cool, and yeah. Good job, Frank Herbert.
Good job.
In your grave.
I also think the love story was good. I was kind of worried if they would, like, kind of mess it up or like be a little too cheesy, but I thought it was pretty natural and fun, and she had a lot of apprehension and and he had to really earn his place, it seemed. I thought the progression of that, the pacing was really good.
Yes, I agree.
I loved it. I don't know, I feel like just overall this one just moved so much more.
It
and I
is a lot faster.
I appreciated that, but
It moved a lot faster.
Yeah, it's going places, baby.
Do you have any other wonderful, good things to say before we turn on this movie and rip it to shreds?
Yeah, pretty much everybody did great that I can think of.
Great job, everybody.
Yeah.
Great makeup.
Great makeup. Great sand.
Great eyeballs. Great black teeth.
Great black teeth.
Great no eyebrows.
Yes, very.
For Fedrotha. Convincing. I mean, I guess everybody has no eyebrows, but.
Yes, oddly.
Yeah.
I really liked that black and white scene where the Bene Gesserit walk out and their robes turn white. It's like, that is so cool. Like, what a nice
effect. Awesome. How did they do the transition, though?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Some material? That's very interesting.
I read that apparently the reason it's black and white is because they used infrared lenses or something?
Whoa.
Or cameras or some
interesting.
Shit?
Interesting.
So that's why it all looks like that. But they had to change the costumes or some of the costumes because they, you know, they of course wanted old Fedrotha to be in all black with his scary white head.
Yeah.
But apparently some like kinds of fabric look different under that kind of camera. So they had to like find fabrics. They had to test fabrics that would be black when that camera was filming them.
Whoa.
I didn't entirely understand it, but I liked it.
Yeah, it was a really cool effect.
I went, great job, guys.
Great work.
But it can't all be good.
No.
We also have to fucking destroy this fucking movie. Bart.
You're going down, Dune.
With our low mans of the picture. What's the worst part of this movie, Mampy?
I struggled to find anything, but if I have to say it,
I think,
as much as I like the pacing of the big, like the first big chunk of it, mm-hmm. I feel like once it gets to the battle, it kind of just wraps up a little too fast. And you're like,
yes.
Like, cause so they're fighting and it's like really cool. And I was like in it. I was like, whoa, this is getting wild. Chani's out there fighting. There's all shit going on everywhere else. Worms are coming in. I thought that Paul was going to be riding a worm. I guess that was just in the old movie.
Cause
I think Kyle MacLachlan rides in on a big worm.
Yeah, he does.
Which would have been a cool scene, but I guess they just didn't do
that. Hey, he knows how to ride him.
We get it.
We know he knows.
Yeah, he knows. But I just like, so they're doing all that, and then suddenly the like throne room is being attacked, and I was like, oh, they've already gotten there? Like,
just
didn't really have like a good like storyline through the fight, which I kind of thought was missing. And I love when he gets in there and kills
things,
obviously, but I was like, that was kind of wrapped up fast. I was like, eh.
Yeah. I similarly felt that, like, I think maybe it's one of the things that I don't like quite as much about this one is that everything feels so inevitable.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, it's part of the, it's built into the story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he, at some point, he can see the future. For most of the movie, his mom can kind of see the future.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, they know what's going to happen. They know how to do it right. They will destroy their enemies and, you know, that kind of thing. But, like, definitely the fact that a lot of it happened really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have a great sense of how much time had passed.
Yeah.
I mean, I still thought it was cool and I'm glad that they killed people.
Exactly.
But, yeah, it did seem quite fast. Now, this is not like a I don't like the changes from the book thing. So I'm not one of those people.
Yeah.
I don't care. If the changes are good, then that's fine. This is just changes from the first movie.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
So they describe the still suits and like they make like a really, they stress the fact that the still suits are the only way you can survive in the desert.
Yes.
And you've got to have your mask on or else you just won't be able to survive. And then just, like, nobody has a mask in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, they have the nose thing, but they don't have the mask. And it's a very tiny thing. But, like, sometimes there are people outside who don't have their nose thing. And then it's like, well,
wait a minute.
You need to have your nose. You got to have your nose thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was a thing where, like, if they hadn't stressed it so much in the first one, if they just hadn't mentioned it and everybody had the nose thing in and that was it, I would have been fine with it. But they seem now maybe just becoming a Fremen has made him more and more used to the desert.
Yeah.
So it's less and less necessary to have the mask. And obviously the main reason they do it is because they're actors. It covers almost all of their face.
Exactly.
That's just so clearly the reason they do it.
I totally feel that.
But, yeah, I feel like at some point when they were making the first movie, they should have said, well, we're not gonna really use the mask. Even in strange times. Like, there are times when they're on the top of a sandworm.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, they've got a little wrap, but they're not wearing the mask. It's like, that mask would really help you right now.
You're being blasted with sand.
You're being literally sandblasted.
Yeah.
You're going like fucking 100 miles an hour.
You're just
like, eh, let me put a thin piece of linen over my mouth.
Just completely naked. That would be the ultimate test. They should have tested Paul that way.
Yeah.
You have to ride
they should
it
have. Naked. They absolutely should
that
have.
That would be a crazy sight.
I know that's a very silly thing to complain about, but it's only because of their built-in logic. If they had tweaked the logic a little bit, I wouldn't have minded at all. And truly, probably the second time I watch it, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
Because I've like built that into my watching of it now. But like this time when I was watching it, I was like, well, I mean, he's gonna die.
He's
out there in a fucking desert. It's the middle of the day.
Yeah, he should
he's
be dead.
He's gonna fucking
now.
Die.
But they don't die. I think that what you call it, Fade. Like there was stuff with Fade where I get they want to show him like as a cool character, but yeah, he'd just be walking around with nothing, like not even a semblance of a breathing apparatus or a helmet. And I was like, how's that working out? There's stuff like that, but yeah, you're like, eh.
Yeah. That's the way it has to work for the movie.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's especially weird with the Harkonnen.
Yeah.
Because they're from some other fucking wet planet. They're from a rain planet.
Exactly.
They must be fucking miserable there.
They should die instantly.
Yeah, they should be sweating at least
or
something.
They shouldn't look smooth anymore. They should look like they're crack, you know, they're eggs, like eggs.
And I mean, maybe they're white, so it reflects off of them more than... Maybe. Oh, I didn't think about that.
Maybe.
Maybe they're very, very white. Because they're so white, it reflects off of them.
They have so much weird chemicals in their body that... Because don't they say that they're like, yeah, we can't use this. It's like too many gross chemicals in it.
Yeah, but we can use it for our cooling systems.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's not bad.
I was like, that's interesting. Because, yeah, their planet looks like it's just polluted, gross.
It's not great on Giedi Prime. It's not. I mean, it's definitely not great to be like a hot, bald chick with like a plastic bag for a suit. Because you're definitely going to get your throat cut.
You're going to get killed.
Or shot in the head. Why did Baron Harkonnen shoot those ladies? Do we know?
He was just mad for some reason.
He was in a bad mood.
Yeah, that's the thing. They all, when they're in a bad mood, just take it out on the wrong people.
Yeah.
They're like, what did they do?
Yeah. She's just got weird rubber things over her fingers, and she plays a little weird musical instrument that may be for medical uses. Who knows?
Yeah.
So there's no reason she had to get a throat cut.
No. I mean, the real job you want is either the hook guys with the crazy suits.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Or the ladies that eat organs. They seem to be, you know, doing well.
They're having a great time. Yeah.
They are foul. I want to know more about the spider guy from the first movie. Do you remember?
See, he can hear.
Yeah. Yeah, I love. Yeah, she's like, get out of here. She does not like him.
Larf.
I did like that they brought back the box, hand pain box. I was like, uh-oh.
It's so awesome, like, that reveal of the box, and then, like, that they cut later, and he was just like, yeah, he just liked it.
Yeah.
He just liked the box.
And then she's like, yeah, I got his baby, though, so we'll see what happens. It's so wild. They're the wildest group.
Bene Gesserit are awesome.
I did love, I mean, we already talked about it, but seeing her get put in her place, because she's such like a mean lady, the Mother Reverend.
Oh, yeah, she's awful.
And she like forces Paul to do the thing and like kneel in the first one.
Yeah.
And I love, silence! Silence! She's like, abomination! It's so nice. Seeing people in power like get like minimized is really fun for some reason.
Yeah.
Oh.
I wonder what they're going to do with
Oh,
sorry. Sorry.
Sorry,
listen. I just hit the microphone. I'm not, everything's okay. I wonder what they're going to do with the next one.
Yeah, I'm very interested.
We're nearing the end of our discussion of Dune 2. Do you have any other final thoughts before we move on to the panda?
I thought it was very fun. I would like to probably see it in IMAX if I can find a place.
Oh, yeah.
But it'll be expensive because I can't do my Regal.
I'm sorry.
Okay, I can't do my Regal.
I can't. Hey. Beautiful.
But, yeah.
I'll keep you posted on what I've watched.
Thank you.
I'm considering for next week, if it's playing anywhere near you, Drive Away Dolls, the Coen Brothers movie.
Yes.
Or the Coen Brother movie.
I've heard it's horrible, but I will go see it.
Is it horrible?
I've heard it's very bad.
Man, that's too bad.
But I will go see it for you.
It looks like the kind of movie that would be the perfect Coen movie because it's just about people being silly and driving.
It's not both of them. I think when brothers split up, you just never make a movie again.
Yeah.
That's my rule.
Brothers, sisters, anybody.
It never works out.
Yeah.
Never quite as good.
That's true.
It's just like, oh.
If you're listening, Ethan Coen or Joel, take him back.
Get back together.
Take him back.
Love each other.
Also, if you're listening, tweet at us at FoodCourtCast. Let us know what we should watch next week. Maybe Driveway Dolls. I think every other movie, I don't think any other movies exist for the next month or so because Dune 2.
I don't think so. I mean, there's this weird Netflix one, but I just don't really want to watch it.
Fuck that.
It's about a spider in space or something.
God.
I just don't want to watch
it. Oh, fuck.
Everyone's like, it's awesome. I'm like, I just don't want to watch
it. There's a spider in space.
It's a space spider.
I watched it probably 3 minutes of it total because I was looking at my phone the whole time. It's a great movie. Okay, we can't only talk about Dune 2 and Driveway Dolls. We've got to talk about other movies we watched this week, which brings us to a segment called Pan Express Presents Express Yourself About the Movies You Watched This Week. Sing.
Ding 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 ding. It's time for the Pan Express bing bing because we got some things to express stink dink about the things we watched stink dink this week. Mine's very on brand, on theme. I watched Dune 1
to prepare me
for Dune 2. And, I always was like, all right, this is good. It's long as hell.
It is long as hell.
Kind of slow, but
definitely feels more long.
Yeah, very cool visuals and stuff like that. I still enjoyed it. But, again, I just like this one more. It's my speed, baby. It must be.
You know what I watched?
No.
Do you?
I don't.
You don't?
I don't.
Well, obviously I watched Starship Troopers this week since I've been talking about it. But I also watched a film called Neon City.
Ooh.
Starring Michael Ironside.
Okay.
And I will tell you the concept, which is much better than the movie.
Okay.
It's not a great movie.
Sounds good.
The concept is, what if Mad Max was cold?
Oh, interesting.
That is the whole concept. It's Mad Max, but there's snow. Which is a great, amazing concept.
Yeah.
Like a brilliant, great, great concept. And they're driving, and Michael Ironside is a badass killer with a heart of gold.
Whoa.
And there's like way too many characters. There's so many characters, and they have so many things.
Mm-hmm.
And not a good movie, in my opinion.
Yeah.
As much as I wanted it to be. But not very good.
Dang.
But still, it's definitely an idea that I wrote down in my in my idea book.
Uh-huh.
It was just like, Mad Max Butt Cold is such a really great idea.
It is fun.
Nobody has the balls.
Nobody has
to do Mad Max Butt Cold.
Butt Cold.
Now, it's especially crazy because it's the future, so they barely have any. It's like the dystopian future.
Yes.
So they barely have any good windows or anything. So you can see them driving, and you can see their breath.
Oh.
It's like, they must be fucking freezing.
Yeah.
They must be so fucking I can't imagine how miserable it was to shoot that movie.
Yeah, and like, that you could be that miserable and still like trying to do shit. Like
to act.
Act and do all the I couldn't focus.
Fucking awful.
It's like Leonardo DiCaprio in The Revenant. I'd be I'm gonna go home. I can't do this.
I don't know if it's worth it.
It doesn't seem like it.
So I have to actually Be thrown around by a real bear.
Okay, cool. Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I got to eat this beef, this raw beef.
I got to eat some raw beef. I got to eat some raw beef.
I'll get that beef.
But that check out, definitely check out Starship Troopers. If for some reason you haven't seen Starship Troopers, or even if it's been more than 3 weeks since you've seen Starship Troopers, watch it.
It's been since I was probably 12, so I really need to go back. Yeah, dude, isn't that crazy?
You gotta.
I gotta go back.
You fucking gotta.
I gotta go back.
Go back, listener, lovely watcher, Kill Donkey. Yes. Thank you so much for watching and listening and or listening. Tweet at us at Food Court Cast with any of your ideas, your galaxy brain, your regular just stupid brain. Even if you have like a stupid brain take that's just like, I liked Dune 2, tweet that at us. We don't care. That's a fine take.
Yeah.
Go to your socials and reshare in any way you want to. Head over to your podcast app and give us 5 stars. Mm-hmm. 5 stars. And write us a review. And that's all the things you have to do this week.
Yes.
Well, if you want to tell us about what movie you want to watch, you can also do that. But
to the YouTube, go ahead.
Yeah.
It's actually been growing at a rapid pace.
It's growing. It's getting fucking huge.
It's crazy.
We can't stop it now.
We can't. It's out of control.
We are going to destroy our enemies.
We're beginning a holy war.
Silence!
When people leave mean comments, silence! That's great.
That's a good response, Jeff.
Yeah, if that's there is very any good. Response, Jeff. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. Next time someone comes in and says, hey, what's up, Drake XL? I'm going to go, silence! And
then just Drake XL?
Disappear. You know.
You don't look like Drake.
Oh, it's because they're racist. They just assume everyone who looks like me is everyone else that has brown skin. That's how their minds operate.
There. You look like just like Will Smith to me.
Yeah.
Exactly like Will Smith. Just a regular size Will
regular
Smith.
Regular, thank you.
You're welcome. You look exactly thank like you. Will Smith.
Thank you so
or,
much.
Or alternately.
Mm.
Hugo Weaving from the Matrix movies.
I feel like that. So, thank you.
Great. That's great. Thank you so much for listening. On behalf of Mampy Hikes, I am Sean Parrott saying to you, bon appetit.